Welcome back to the Sexual Healing Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Pookie, and I am a black, gay, male, 40-something to lead you on an interesting discussion of life from my perspective, from the top of your head, which may have some locks, perhaps, some waves, or just lovely, sexy, smooth skin, all the way down to your toes, which could be nicely pedicured and manicured, or like some damn talons that's just like a raptor. All right. Yes, it's that kind of day. So we will be continuing our exploration of the Crushed Velvet Rage series, as I'm calling it, looking at Alan Downs's book, The Velvet Rage, and how applicable it is to black, gay, same-gender-loving men out there in the world, and also to the LGBTQ, same-gender-loving communities of color out there. So, last week we had our discussion with our brother Trilificent, and we had a very interesting discussion, and today we're going to share part two of that discussion with you, but I want to kind of recap what went down last week. So, in the first part of our discussion, we talked about the pressures that many black, gay, bi, and same-gender-loving men might feel to be perfect, to be accepted in the gay community, particularly in the gay community at large, but also within our black communities, as gay and same gender loving identified men. It could be rough out there in them streets. We talked about just that pursuit of perfection versus being your authentic self, and sometimes the consequences that come with being your authentic self. So we started there, and then we moved into the cultural silences around alcohol and substance use, and how we grew up with that, and how alcohol and different controlled substances are available, they are portrayed, how they are marketed to us as black folk, and when does that, the line between turning up and it being an addiction or, unhealthy relationship to alcohol or to weed or cocaine or meth, you name it, particularly the opioids. As a recent user of opioids during my hospitalization, I can attest to how wonderful they can make you feel, because I went from being in excruciating pain to barely being able to feel my toes, and I had few complaints. And so we then ended the conversation, or at least part one of the conversation, talking about our visibility in the community and in the world as a whole, and just how safe are we from violence and from really character assassination, I guess is how you could put it. So if you haven't heard part one of our discussion in episode 46, I definitely encourage you to listen to that first. One of the things that I kind of, in reading Downs's book, that just kind of struck me was this idea of brokenness, reflecting on our community, because I see so often, I know it's black Twitter and it's black gay Twitter, so you got keyboard warriors and keyboard bullies, but I see so much of us kind of eating our own, so to speak.
Yeah.
And that to me just suggests a certain amount of brokenness, which you see. Do you see it that way, or do you see it a little differently?
Absolutely. I think we can, like you said, you can get on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, hell, you can go on porn sites and see us eating each other. And I think a lot of times that is a projection of issues that we're dealing with, and we want to attack them, but we can't. We are unable, or we're unwilling to attack ourselves and do that work. So we want to attack the things that we don't like about ourselves and someone else. And now that I'm thinking about it, this is kind of off topic, but it goes with the thought that I'm having.
Okay.
That is kind of one of the reasons why I think so many gays have an issue with porn stars and with amateur porn stars and with the OnlyFans gays.
Okay.
Because you see something that you don't like about yourself. Maybe you don't like having very strong sexual appetite. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but there's something that you see in them that you may not recognize in yourself, and you do recognize it in yourself, but again, you don't want to attack yourself, so you're going to attack the next person for having the same thoughts as you, but they're acting on them. They're doing the things that you feel like you can't do, or you, for whatever reason, you've convinced yourself are bad. Like, I had a friend who subscribed to this purity idea as far as I can count on one hand how many men I've had sex with, and it's even less of the amount of men that have penetrated me. And I was just like, okay, that's fine if that's how you want to live your life. The problem comes because you start judging other people for being different. Uh-huh. And you're attacking them for something that you either wish you could do, but you feel like you can't. Or I don't know. I getting into the specifics, I don't really know what the root cause is. We can speculate all day, but I definitely think that there's plenty of examples of us attacking each other. Like, the easiest way I think to sum it up is there are tons of gays out there that are homophobic.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, there's gays that are everything. Like, we're not immune to that just because we're a marginalized group ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely agree with what you're saying. It's, you can look at any given point. I mean, and it can be the smallest things. Sometimes I think some of us are just, maybe we're still grappling with our sexuality or our being open with it. And because we attack each other for the most trivial things. You can get on Twitter, they're ready to physically fight over Rihanna and Beyonce. Listen, I love me some Beyonce. I'm not fighting nobody over Beyonce, okay? I'm going to enjoy the things that my queen gives me, whether you want to join in enjoyment or whether you want to sulk because you want to hate. That neither of those have anything to do with me. But you can see, the most trivial things. Oh, you said something bad about Portia. You deserve to die. I hope you get stoned. I hope somebody cut your dick off and set it on fire. And you're just like, what the hell? Like,
yeah, it's a little extra.
So harsh with each other.
And it just seems like, I just remember once I was on a, in my younger fly ho days, I was at Adam for Adam, and the only time I've ever had a truly negative experience was with another black man, where he basically just sent me this message out of the blue and said, I don't know how you live with yourself looking like that. And I'm like, what the hell? It's like, and my first response was like, do I know you? Because it was just so out from left field. And I said, and of course, he's headless. He's a headless torso. Looked like a nice torso. Unfortunately, his personality fucked up everything else. But, it's never seen that way. I did write back to him like, first of all, do I know you? And second, why do you feel like you need to come after me? Like, if you're not interested, then just keep going. I didn't say shit to you. Like, you literally went out of your way to attack another brother in this space.
Oh, yeah. You know what? It's funny that you say that. I had something similar happen to me once where someone messaged me on Jacked. And it was a blank profile, no stats, no pictures, no nothing. And they were just like, you just keep getting bigger, huh? LOL. And I'm just like,
oh, my God. Wow.
And you know what? That's not the right word. I wouldn't want to highlight that, because these are the things that I try to tell people when they're always like, it must be something that you're doing, because, I don't understand why you always talking about that, guys are not interested in you and da 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 da. Like, these are the kind of experiences that I have. You know what I mean? And we can't discount those just because we feel like, just because we're friends and you find me attractive, you think I'm attractive, you think I should be out here slaying them. Well, that's not my reality. This is my reality at this point. I'm not saying it's always going to be like this, but historically it's been like this. I deal with it. I'm not like, oh, you gays need to burn in hell because y'all be talking crazy to me. And I just don't, like, I don't have the energy for that. I'd rather just have a Gatorade and take a nap.
Okay. Fair.
But I think it is important that we have these kind of conversations where it's like, why are we coming after each other like that? Unsolicited at that. It'd be different if I had tried to talk to you and you were like, nah, look. Look at you and look at me. You know you're out of my league. Now, don't get me wrong. That's trash, too.
Mm-hmm.
But at least then it would have some kind of lead. Like, okay, I messaged you and you didn't want a message from me or guys that look like me. So you respond, albeit in a fucked up way, but you respond nonetheless. Versus if I'm just over here minding my business and you coming into my inbox on some disrespectful shit. And I'm just like, why? What does that do for you? Like, why? Okay, you don't like heavy set guys. You don't like dark skin guys. You don't like uncut guys. Whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
But why do you have to go out of your way to stomp them down? Why can't you just be like, okay, that's not what I like. I'm going to go over here where the things that I like are. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I hate seeing us have to build ourselves up by tearing the next gay down.
Exactly. And I definitely think that that's a huge part of it when you talk about, you know, that perfection. And that's kind of where that velvet rage comes from, where you're never quite good enough, or you're going after some unattainable goal. And I feel like, you know, just this pursuit of perfection or whatever it may be can contribute to a lot of mental health issues. And,
oh, absolutely.
And I think we're seeing it amongst, you know, our contemporaries where someone, and I don't know if the guy that came after me so many years ago, his whole thing was, you know, you need to look better than that if you're going to be on this board. You know, it's almost like, how are you going to come out here looking like that? You know, you should be looking like I look. And I was like, well, the gentleman that I'm talking to and that are inviting me over and out don't want me to have a six pack. They like to have a little belly to play with. And I'm happy to provide it, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's strange because I would say even now, being a little lighter than I was, you know, back then, it's still kind of odd to interact with folks because I'm like, well, I guess I'm in between. And so they're the guys that, you know, I talked to before, like, well, you're a little skinny now. So and I'm just like, okay. And it's interesting because it's not like this is a stranger. This is someone that I know. You know, in some shape or form, you know, I don't know them that well. But there is some establishment of a relationship there, and they still feel the need to kind of come after you and somehow discredit your existence. And that just, that boggles my mind a lot of the time. But I just have to feel like that's part of it. I mean, that old cliche about hurt people. That just seems to be very much the case a lot of the time in our community. Yeah. What are some? Oh, go ahead.
I think that it kind of goes back to what you're saying about this velvet rage, and that a lot of times I don't even know if we're necessarily hurt as much as we are struggling still with who we are, and we lash out and we hurt others because we're hurting ourselves. A lot of us have trauma with family, with friends, with all those different things that I've mentioned before. But sometimes I think it's just number one, let me say, some people are just mean, and that just, it is what it is. This is the real world. Some people are mean. They like being mean. That's what they do. True. But I think some people are not self-aware, and they say things under the guise of helping. They think that they're giving you tough love or something like that without really knowing or taking into account whatever triggers you may have from trauma that you've been through.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I do think sometimes hurt people. It's true. And I think sometimes we just put this pressure on ourselves. And the only outlet we have is to lash out at the next person that we feel is doing something that they shouldn't be doing, whether it's living out loud, whether it's living heavier set and being proud and still getting dick, whatever the case may be. I think it's a combination of things, but I definitely can say at least some of it goes back to this whole thing of this life, this society is putting this pressure on me. I feel it. and I'm looking at you and you don't look like you feel it, and that's not fair to me. So I'm going to take it upon myself. It's going to be my personal responsibility to make you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I encounter it often where, you know, you just kind of feel like folks' eyes are on you and they're looking at you like, you know, what? I just remember this one guy. I was out somewhere and he looked at me like, how are you going to bring your fat ass up in here? And I was like, well, first of all, I'm not that damn big. Second, you know, like he was bigger than me. And he was looking at me like, how are you going to bring your fat ass up in here? I was like, you worried about competition? What's the problem? And I just, you know, I was like, are you? I just didn't understand. But I think, you know, when, I guess the next question I have, and kind of looking into that and moving us forward, how can we as a community kind of lift one another up in ways that are more affirmative and positive without tearing one another apart?
I think it kind of goes back to what I was saying before. Self-awareness is a big part of it, because it doesn't matter how much I or anybody else tells you, hey, you need to stop tearing people down. Like, why are you so negative all the time? If you are not open to analyzing your own behavior and being able to say, you know what, I might be doing more harm than good, then these conversations and these arguments are always going to fall on deaf ears. So that's probably the first step, is you have to make a decision to start figuring out how to open yourself up so that you can be receptive to an analyzation of your own behavior.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where we need to start. Beyond that, I mean, I don't know what we can do, because it's hard to, for me anyway, to apply a blanket solution to a problem that has so many individual parts.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't ever not take into account a person's personality. Because yeah. Like I said earlier, some people are just mean. Some gays are just mean. Some gays take shade and reading and all that stuff to heart, and they feel they make that a personality.
That's true.
Being a trait of something that you can do. We can all be shady. We can all read, some better than others.
Mm-hmm.
We all have that capability, but it becomes a difference when that is your personality. Like every time you open your mouth or your thumbs get to sliding across a device, it's always some negativity. You always tearing somebody down. That's different. You know what I mean? And
that's true.
Sometimes I honestly feel like some of us, we adopt that. It becomes our personality, and we lose who we are as a person because we feel like, well, I mean, this is what I do. I shade people.
Mm-hmm.
Like I shade people all the time. I mean, I shade my friends. It's kind of like a form of affection for me.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I mean? And that's different. Like I look at it and I use it a whole different way. Like, can I be shady? Yes. Do I get any benefit out of getting on Twitter, seeing somebody say something and replying, being disrespectful and shading them? No, that doesn't do anything for me at all.
Mm-hmm.
Do I get a chuckle out of telling my friend, you need to stop wearing them jorts? Yes. We can laugh and it's love. You know what I mean? And I know some people are like, no, you can't be shady to people that you... Everybody's relationship is different. Like, because I'm a whole different person when I'm being mean. I'm usually not shady when I'm actually being mean. I'm just being plain mean. And I'm going to say whatever I can to break you down. And I don't let myself get there. It's been a long, long, long time. Like, I work actively at that because I can be mean. I know that I can be mean. Mm-hmm. And I don't like for that to come out because I don't like how it makes me feel.
That's a good point.
But I think a lot of us, we confuse that. We conflate that shade and all of that with an actual personality. And now we're struggling to have people around us that are not the same way, because eventually you cannot have a squad full of shady people. It just does not work that way, because eventually the shade is going to start turning inward.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now everybody's mad, y'all on the outs, because y'all sitting here shading each other. And it's just like, I don't know. I think that, again, that at the individual level, that's why it gets difficult. Like, I can say we need to preach love. We need to be accepting of each other. We need body positivity. We need sex positivity. We need sex worker positivity. Mm-hmm. We need all of those things. How do I get individual Jamal to understand that? I don't know.
Yeah.
Because Jamal has a whole set of principles. He has a whole set of societal pressures. He has a whole set of internal pressures, of familial pressures and ideology, that I don't know if there's a way to combat that on a large scale.
Mm-hmm.
I think conversations like this, I think podcasts like this, the podcast itself and this individual episode, mm-hmm. are a good way. I think these conversations need to be had. The more that we have these conversations publicly that people can see, they can start maybe we'll get lucky and they'll start recognizing that stuff in themselves and be like, huh, now I done listened to two podcasts in the past month, and they were both talking about reading and shading and how, you know, we need to be mindful of that towards each other. Why do they keep saying that? And then, you know, start looking at things like, am I shady? Like, what's really good? I don't know. What about you? What do you think?
I agree. I think that certainly one of the things that I had to do first was to really kind of assess the people around me. And there were some folks that needed to go. Gay and otherwise, just this idea of so much negativity and just strife coming out of certain folks. And I just realized, you know, I don't think I'm meant to live this way,
mm-hmm.
and that I don't have to live this way, for that matter. And I think also just really being willing to accept one another for who we are, because I do think that's a tough one for a lot of folks, because they're not so comfortable with who they are. And I think socially we do traffic in a lot of shade. It's just, you know, it's part of the way that we show love to one another. It's part of the ways that we interact, and it can be a problem often. But I do think that we need to probably be more mindful of how we talk to people. And if you had heard that coming at you, how would you feel about it?
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of us don't pay attention to that as well as we need to. But I think also to really look at, I think to call out what it is, you know, if we as a community are fucked up and feel like we have to attack one another to feel better about ourselves, that is a problem.
Yeah.
I've said to folks when I've been out and about in the world and they've kind of come after me in some ways that I was just like, really? Seriously? I've looked at them and said, you know, clearly something's going on in your world. You want to talk about it? You know, and sometimes they'd be like, yo, Pollyanna ass. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. I was like, you know, the reality is you came at a stranger in a way that was totally just wrong.
Yeah.
So clearly there's something going on in your world. So let's get into it. I'm here to listen if you're here to talk.
I think another part of it that we hadn't touched on, I just thought of, is plain old maturity.
Well, now, preaching. And
we can be honest. If any particular group can be a shining example and proof positive that men mature slower than women, it's, you can look at the gay community.
That's true.
Because a lot of us, we have those, maybe lack of a better term, maybe it fits, maybe it doesn't, toxic traits.
Mm-hmm.
And we just grow out of them.
Yeah.
When we hit our 30s, or some of us even before that, we hit our mid 20s, late 20s, early 30s, mid 30s, 40s, some of them, you know, mid-40s, late-40s, even into their 50s, they unlearn that, their values change, and the things that they want in life change. I think it's a lot of things that kind of dictate how we act are based on what it is we want out of life at that point. Because you can look at someone that you knew when you were in your 20s and be like, boy, you was a wild boy. You was doing lines off ass in the bathroom at the club.
Oh, Lord.
Drinking whatever people offered you without a thought about what could happen. Mm-hmm. You were doing this, you were doing that. And then you in your 30s and you're like, you a whole different person. You got a baby. You doing this, you doing that. You done adopted with your partner. You have a partner. You know what I'm saying?
And it's like, yeah.
Because it's like, did you really change or did your values change and you adapted to what it was that you wanted? When you're in your early 20s, your teens, you're not thinking about that kind of stuff. I want to party. I want to enjoy life. I want to, you know, set myself up a little bit. If you are fortunate enough to have that frame of reference, because Lord knows I didn't. I was not thinking now is the time to set up the rest of my life. I was like, I'm in college. What the fuck do I do?
Basically, yeah.
But that maturity, I think, is a big thing. And again, it's one of those things that's like, we really can't combat that because everyone matures in their own time.
They do, yeah. Well, and I think also, yeah, we certainly, I would say, growing up in secrecy, not having that adolescence, you know, where you do the dumb shit and your parents look at you like, boy, why? You know, and just growing up on the timetable that we're supposed to. I think that definitely has an impact because I see folks in their 30s and 40s that still acting like they're 17 and 18 years old.
Yep.
Still, you know, still acting like it's high school. And you're just like, dude, that time has passed. I could give you a year. You've been out for 10, 15 years. You should be past this. But yeah, it is scary. I mean, I certainly don't want to put the weight of healing the community on us as individuals, but I do think that just kind of taking inventory of who we are and what we want to give to the world may be a good starting point. And yep. And all, you know, and I think also just understanding that they're the generation coming after us, they're looking. They're watching.
Yep.
You know, we set the table for them. And much like we're seeing with, you know, the world as a whole and the fact that we're just tearing it to pieces for the kids that are coming after us, we don't want to have a community that's just wild and out of control. Because we ain't even get into really, you know, the quote-unquote high-risk sexual behavior, irresponsible mm-hmm. sexual behavior. I mean, all that stuff is going on. You know, while I appreciate a good, you know, hot, spicy clip, you know, as much as anybody else, it amazes me the amount of raw sex going on out there.
Yeah, some of
I
appreciate it when I'm in the mood
in that space. Yes,
but I was looking at one earlier today, and I was just like, "Ooh, man, I pray mm-hmm. that y'all are cognizant and having conversations about sexual health before you start doing all of this stuff." You know, I don't know. So mm-hmm. I'm just hoping, I'm praying that y'all are not in such a rush to A, have sex, and B, record it, and C, put it on the internet, that you are bypassing critical steps. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I just don't want to see that. I don't want to see someone that's engaging in what we think is irresponsible behavior only to turn around and be like, okay, here's my HIV story, here's my this story, here's my mm-hmm. that story. Because, and it's just like, okay, I get it, sometimes you can't help it, but when you're engaging in that kind of behavior, and the other thing is, I would specifically to the high risk sex behavior, mm-hmm. I just want to say this, I don't want to take up a whole lot of time on it, but I'm hoping that we can start to erase that stigma of not having these things be public when we're enjoying these things publicly. What I mean mm-hmm. by that is I want to see the stigma go away of just get to the fucking. That's all I want to see. I want us to get away from that and be like, okay, hey guys, y'all are about to see this clip. I had the time of my life, but we did talk about and we did share our screenings. We are, you know, aware of each other's sexual health.
So,
and we are, you know, we taking steps to protect ourselves. Boom. Now let's get to it.
Because there
are so many of us out there that are just like, I don't want to see no condoms. I don't want to see this. I don't want to see no talking. Just get to the fucking. And it's just like, and in so many cases where those are the people trying to cater to that, that they end up having something that could have been prevented. You know, how many porn stars have we seen do that kind of stuff and only to turn around and be like, okay, now I got HIV. And there's nothing wrong with having HIV, but it's like,
did you have to have it?
But did you have to have it? Like, how did you, you know what I'm saying? Then when you hear the story about how they got it, you're just like, to a degree, you're almost like, was this preventable? I'm not saying it was, because people are trash and people lie.
People, yeah, they do a lot of lying.
Sometimes you're just like, okay, look, like y'all doing a whole lot of snowballing. Y'all doing all this stuff. Like, I just would like to, you know, maybe not even on every video, but listen, if you got like a Twitter account and that's what you do, if it's a freak page, maybe in the bio be like, every video when I post a clip with a guy, we're being safe, whatever that means to us. You know what I mean? And leave it at that. I just want us to get away from this, give me the sex, give it to me now, and sexual health be damned, because they are intertwined. You know,
that's
like
true.
You can't have one without the other. As much as we want to divorce the two, I say we, I'm mainly talking about gay men, well, men in general. As much as we want to divorce the two, that's not how that works.
That's true.
It doesn't. Because as much as you ignore your sexual health, it's not going to ignore you.
I don't know how
to say that.
That's so true. I mean,
Listen, I've had friends like that, where it's like a doctor, you know, they were going through something, and the doctor's like, I want to do an HIV test, I want to make sure, and they freak out. They're like, no, I don't want to know. And it's just like, you want to have sex, but you don't want to know your sexual health? That doesn't make sense to me. They are intertwined. And not only that, then we get into, you know, I'm on my soapbox right now, but listen, it's important. Again, these conversations are important, because when you don't want to know about your own sexual health, you're putting other people at risk. And that's not fair to them, because they might be doing everything in their power. I met a guy and he was HIV positive, and it was none of that stuff. He got HIV the first time he had sex with his boyfriend.
Ooh, yeah.
He was doing everything he was supposed to be doing. His boyfriend wasn't. And because his boyfriend was disregarding his own sexual health, he put this guy's sexual health in jeopardy. And that's what I'm saying. I want us to get to the point where that stigma starts to fall away, and we don't feel like sex workers and all that kind of stuff is a separate conversation. Like, sexual health needs to be grouped with sex instead of with your overall health. Like, obviously it is part of your overall health, but I think in a lot of our minds we feel like sexual health goes with our health. Like, when I go to the doctor, he's gonna check my blood pressure, he's gonna check my my AC levels, and he's gonna check for STDs and STIs.
Yeah.
And sex is a whole separate thing, and it's like, I would like for us to start being more cognizant, and maybe that will start to help curb some of the dangerous behavior and using sex as a coping mechanism. If we're more cognizant, saying like, you know what, when I'm thinking about sex, I need to be thinking about my sexual health. Just like, you know, a lot of us, when you work out, when you whatever you choose to eat, you know what I mean, you thinking about your health, you thinking about your heart health, you thinking about your whatever other whatever other individual organs and all that kind of stuff. You're thinking about your health when you do those things. So I would like for us to start getting to a point where it's like, okay, I'm thinking about sex. Let me think about all the other things that go with it.
Yeah, because, you know, one of the interesting things that I've noticed, even with myself, and I kind of catch myself when I have these thoughts, I've seen guys that are like, that put that time in the gym. Like, they clearly, health is a very big issue for them. And yet they are the raw bottom in a sling, you know, and advertising themselves as such. And I'm sitting here like, isn't that kind of counterproductive that you put that much care into your body, but then you just offer it up for all these things that could, that can compromise all the health that you just worked so hard to achieve?
Yeah. Well, some of that I think is just ignorance. I think, I honestly think some guys that work out a lot feel like having, not even having a nice body, but going to the gym, working out and being quote unquote healthy will automatically protect them from all manner of other things. And it's like, you hate to see it.
Yeah, it's like I hadn't even thought about that fallacy, but yeah, it's like
it's true. You know, I think we've all come across guys that are like, I work out, I ain't got to worry about this, that, and the other. And it's like, what does you lifting weights have to do with you contracting gonorrhea? Like, whether you fat or whether you fit, gonorrhea is gonorrhea.
Yeah, because they said in LA County right now, there's like gonorrhea is on the rise, and I believe that they're getting more and more resistant strains to the treatments that we have.
Yeah, I think that I want to say the same thing is happening in the Seattle area with syphilis.
Okay. We had a syphilis thing about 3-4 years ago. So this shit is just moving around. And I just feel like, I guess I wonder if, you know, the survival sex, you know, to be okay, you know, to have a place to stay, to pay your bills, versus sex for comfort, to medicate for whatever is bothering you, versus just, I don't care. Do those all, you know, I always say poverty is a mental health issue. So survival sex, that's covered. But I guess the I don't care people, would you see that as part of a mental health issue, or is that just a personality thing? Or is it just too broad of a, you know, is it just putting you in trouble even asking you to say that, to make a decision about that? Well,
I
mean, that?
Honestly, I think that that's kind of a broad stroke.
Yes, that's exactly what I was concerned
because
about.
It could be either one of those things, to be quite honest. It just depends on the individual. But I would say there is an issue, whether it's mental or personality or something else, if a person has a complete disregard for any aspect of their health.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not talking about that this is not licensed for you to go to the next overweight dude and be like, you need to put the motherfucking double cheeseburgers down. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying a complete disregard in that you just don't care. Because a lot of time, listen, in those situations, diabetic people, they know. They care. Whatever the case may be of why they're doing what they're doing. People with high blood pressure, same thing. They know, but they are ignoring it. And I think that's different than I just flat out don't care about the consequences. That's an issue. That's a huge issue. It's almost, you know, I don't want to make that bridge, but you know, I do think it's a huge issue. Like someone to just flat out be like, I don't care. I'm all about a nut. Like, honestly, I run quickly from those type of profiles where they be like, it don't matter what you look like. It don't matter this. It don't matter that. Like, just come. Go. And you be like, ooh.
Like, yeah. Oh, the I'll be laid up on, you know, I'll be on the bed with my ass up and looped. And you just come in and, you know, handle your business and go. And I'm like, oh, wow. I'm like,
the fantasy is hot. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, the fantasy is hot.
And in a, like, if it's a porn, like, yeah, I'm watching and I'm enjoying myself. Yes. But in real life, like my real life, it's just that's not my ministry. Like, exactly. I just could not. I mean, I already have issues with that kind of stuff in general.
Okay.
But just to have a complete disregard. But that's why I'm saying I'm hesitant because in some instances, I don't think it's a disregard. I think that that's just like their kink, their fetish. And it's like, how do you tell a person your kink is wrong? Your kink is dangerous.
Yeah.
Even, you know, if it is, it's like, well, but at the same point, it's like, well, who are me
to judge and dictate
and tell you shouldn't be doing that because you're putting your life in danger. And I mean, honestly, some people, that's how they get off. They know the risk and they don't care.
Yeah, that is the allure, that it is dangerous. And mm-hmm. yeah, and I mean, I guess, and that's what we talked about earlier, about straddling that line between allowing someone to be who they are and be a little wild, but when does it cross the line? And I think it's, yeah, it's just, I don't know. And that might be my cross to bear in wanting to quote unquote take care of people. It's a dangerous job to take on. And so that's something that I'm trying to step away from. But also balancing not feeling like an asshole because I see so-and-so doing this and I'm like, oh gosh, it could be so hard for them. You know, it's hard to come out of that. It's really hard. Yeah. But I'm loving the conversation, but I think we probably need to move forward. But I'm sure you'll be back at a later date because you clearly have things to express. So
after like, the conversation, I'm speaking on what you presented.
This is true, you know, and I'm letting you go because I'm like, yeah, because, you know, they're going to get tired of hearing from me. But I guess to close out this part of the show, just looking at, you know, one more thing from Downs's book, he has this passage in here where he says, "This little boy grows up to be a man who is supremely knowledgeable of culture and fashion, a man of Adonis-sized proportions and many lovers, okay. a man of great success and wealth, a fabulous and outrageous host, an arbiter of good taste and elegant design, a pop culture aficionado." Is this a life that you want for yourself?
That sounds exhausting. That, I have to be honest. For me, it sounds like a lot to keep up with. Mm-hmm. Like, I strive to be well-rounded, but that sounds exhausting. Like, I would have to pick, like, two or three out of those and be like, you know what? I would rather be a master at these than trying to be a jack-of-all-trade and being mediocre at everything. Mm-hmm. Or even if I was good at everything, it's just, eventually, it's just going to be too much to keep up with. Mm-hmm. For me. If you are super gay and you can do that, if you can do all things through dick that strengthens you, then have at it. But I'm all not right. built that way. I need limited amount of things on my plate at one time.
Well, you know, I would definitely say you were doing plenty. So the last question would be, you know, you've said that's an exhausting life. So what is it that you do want your life to look like? I think a lot of us don't necessarily know.
That's my answer. I don't know. I've struggled. I think I've talked about this on my podcast before, but I've struggled with knowing what I want to do in life, what mm-hmm. I want out of life, and what I feel like my purpose is. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it's kind of been in limbo for about probably the past year, maybe mm-hmm. a little bit more. Because right when I started having these conversations with my therapist, he quit.
Oh, no.
And I've been... I haven't really started the search for a new therapist because I just, the idea of starting over with a new therapist is more overwhelming to me than not speaking to a therapist at this current moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that changes. And I feel like it's starting to change. Like, I'm starting to formulate a plan in my head of where do I want to look for a therapist? Like, what area? And
okay,
do I want them to be Black? Do I want them to be LGBT friendly? Do I want them to be this, that, and the other? And I'm a planner, so the pieces have to fit together in my mind before the action.
Okay.
But definitely, I don't have an answer for that. I'm trying to map it out as I go,
mm-hmm.
which is anxiety inducing in itself, because again, I'm a planner, so mm-hmm. but at the same time, I feel like trying to plan everything to a T takes away from a lot of the elements in life. So I'm trying to learn how to have that discernment of when do I need to plan and when do I need to enjoy the moment.
Okay, that's fair. I think it's it takes a lot of guts to actually say this is what I want my life to look like. I mean, to truly, like, put it down on paper and to live it, it takes a lot.
Yeah.
And I've often seen it as an audacious act, to really say this is who I am and this is what I want. Just like in looking for a partner, it's like this is what I want and I'm not tolerating this. You can say it in your head, but until you like truly live it, where you're like, this is a deal breaker and I'm not compromising on it, takes a lot of guts because it's hard to find just somebody you can work with out there. So
ain't that the truth?
Yeah, but you know, I definitely thank you. I appreciate your bravery and your clarity of thought. I really appreciate it, and I think the listeners will as well. I'm so humbled that you visited my humble chateau.
Yeah, thank you for having me and for the invite.
Yes. Now, where can the folks find you? Because you are in places. So where might they track you and your shows down?
So the keep it quick and simple. You can find me on my individual pages on social media. It's at Trillificent, spelled how it sounds. You can find all of my podcasts and my podcast network dealings if you just follow at Flawless Noises on social media, on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, or go to flawlessnoises.com. All of the same information is there. And for the QPOC hashtag, you can just search for the hashtag on any of those, hashtag PODSBYQPOC. And you can also go to podsbyqpoc.com. That's where the directory is. And I should be at any of those places.
Okay. Well, see, you covered a lot of my normal closer because we always shout out Pods by QPoc. So, yeah.
Does it is here, even though I haven't been doing it for a long time, but bear with me because depression.
It's a mother.
Folks, I need an intern or something.
Okay, I need to talk to somebody in like, you know, mass communications at the university. I need to slide through that department and be like, hey, Dr. Pookie needs your assistance because I can't keep up.
Can't keep up.
All right, well, brother, thank you so much. We are wishing you the very best and also continued healing, particularly in your search for rebuilding your support team. Because I know in a new city, it can be a challenge. But, you know, definitely give a shout out to me to the rest of the crew over at Ratchet Ramblings, as well as Mama Bree. I love how she issues a read. It's like she's a rough customer. I love her. So thank you again for... Oh, does she take after you? Okay.
A little bit. She wasn't always like that. I feel like I've rubbed off of her. Her and my godson, he's a Gemini too. So she always jokes that her carrying that Gemini baby, now she got some Gemini traits. And I'm like, were they Gemini traits or were they just Bree traits that were dormant?
Thank you. Yeah, because he is adorable. I saw a picture of the two of you and I was like, that little boy is so cute. He reminds me of my nephew. I'm just happy to see that the move is working well for you. And, you know, Flawless Noises. I was like, wow, they are doing stuff. So y'all might inspire me to new heights.
We trying to get to the new heights our damn selves, but I appreciate it.
Oh, not a problem. I mean, hey, you're not going to get anywhere unless you at least take a step. And you guys have taken a huge step forward. So now it's just, you know, you laid out a path. So
do that. Thank you.
Get to stepping. So that wrapped up part two of our discussion of the Crushed Velvet Rage, where we talk specifically about mental health issues in the Black LGBTQ communities. And now we're going to move into our listener letters. This week we were a bit light on letters that, you know, were workable for the show. There were some things that were just a little wild, so I just said I can't deal with that right now. So I do have one letter this week, which I'm pulling up here. And this letter is from, I will name him Gerald. And Gerald writes in, my girl is letting herself go, and I don't really feel like smashing her anymore. She was cool after the first baby, but she got real sloppy after the second baby. I love her and I love my kids, but I'm not loving this new look and the roles and shit. Damn, Gerald. I don't want to piss her off, but I need to say something. How can I bring this up to her? Ooh, or bring this up with her, actually. Let me get that right. Gerald, you're treading in some dangerous waters, brother. Oh, wow. Okay, so the first thing, if you can't have it both ways. You can't, obviously, I'm guessing you wanted children, because certainly you were doing things to get children. So you had to realize that no matter how old she may have been, she wasn't going to look the same that she did before. It's just a really bad expectation to have of a woman. You know, certainly a lot of sisters bounce back, and they bounce back fiercely. And some, they don't. And frankly, as we get older, if we, you know, if our diets are certain ways and our genetics are a certain way, stuff is going to maybe expand. Booties might get a little less firm. You know, fat cells might add a little saline onto them. You know, she may have some stretch marks and all that. But the reality is, if you love her as you claim that you do, then you got to love her in her entirety. I'm wondering if you, in fact, Gerald, are as svelte as you were when she first got with you. You know, you may want to say to her, babe, you know, we're both slipping a little bit. I want us to be healthy for the kids, because, you know, these kids, they take a lot. And I want to be able to be as healthy and vibrant as I can as they get older. And I want you to be able to have that energy, and we can avoid, you know, as many health issues as possible. You know, your mama got this, or your dad got this, or my dad has this, and I don't want to repeat that history, and I don't want you to repeat it either. Why don't we commit to a joint, you know, health and fitness regimen? Why don't we change the way our household eats? And what are the values that, you know, we're sharing with our children by what we put on the plate and what we do with our time when we get home from work? Certainly, you're going to feed the kids, you're going to help with homework, but you also need to maybe make exercise and fitness a family endeavor, so it's not just about her and how you feel about her look and you know, how turned off you may or may not be by the shape of her body at this point. I definitely feel like, you know, I get it. She physically is not the same woman that you perhaps fell in love with. She's not the same woman potentially that you impregnated. Perhaps you like her on the thick side, but now, you know, the stomach has fallen and, you know, she's not carrying the weight as well. I don't know. You don't say, you don't send pictures, but clearly there's a lack of I would say compassion for your partner. You don't say if she's your wife or not. You just say, you know, my girl. So, you know, if you in fact love this woman, Gerald, and you guys have two kids, I would hope that she's your wife. If not, you may want to start there. If you in fact want to remain with her, you know, you have to be willing to remain even if she doesn't snap back the way you want her to. She's sticking with you even though you're getting older and, you know, dick not may not be as hard as it once was. You know, she might be seeing some things about you that she could do without, but she's still loving your ass anyway. It's give and take, and you've got to be willing to hang in there with her, because that's what co-parenting is about if you're going to stay together. And even if you're separate, you know, co-parenting is about you not running her down and talking shit about the mother of your children and being her partner in raising the kids, because it's no longer about you as a couple. For you to basically say to her straight up, baby, you know, I don't like your body and it's turning me off, that's going to piss her off. Like, I'm happy you recognize that, but I think you need to make it about us and not about her. And you gotta be careful. This is a tightrope. I mean, if you love this woman, as you say that you do, the last thing you want to do is to shatter her confidence in herself or put a crack in that. She knows when she looks in the mirror, it's not what it was. She doesn't need you to say anything. All she needs you to do is love what is. And if what is not fully working for you, then create an environment where she can make the modifications necessary. But it's not just for her. You need to get your ass in there too with her. So it's not on her and have all this pressure to look a certain way for you. That's the worst thing you could do. Right behind saying, baby, I'm not into your look anymore. And definitely, I think in the long run, you know, culturally, I think in this country, we eat way too much food. We don't exercise enough by and large. You know, obesity is a major issue. So without having seen either of you, you know, this woman may be 10 pounds heavier than what she was. You know, some brothers are that vain. I don't know if that's you, Gerald, but it definitely seems to me that this is a couple and a family issue. It's not about her. So don't make it about her. You need to actually put on your big boy drawers and be the man that she needs you to be. She needs to be a good father. She needs you to be a man of your word. And if you said, I'm going to love you and we're going to raise these kids together, and she has not done anything to break your trust in that regard, she's not out fucking around, you know, she's raising the kids well, you know, she's working, she's doing everything she's supposed to do, you have no grounds other than some fuck shit for leaving her. So you need to actually decide, yes, I'm staying. And if her body doesn't change to the point where I'm okay with it, you have to look in the mirror and figure out whether you truly love her. Because over time, we're all going to change. Skin is going to get a little less firm and taut. And like I said, your dick won't get as hard as it used to. Perhaps her cat won't get as wet as it used to. But you know what? The one thing that is there and will always grow is the love that she has for you and the family the two of you have created together. I believe that it's in your best interest to value that over how she looks and just how much of a sexual charge you're getting from her, because, you know, sex is obviously a physical activity, but it's even more mental and psychological. The love you have for her should be enough to push you through any sort of issues that you might be having with her physical appearance at this time. Period. Because there are probably times that your ass does not smell as fresh as she'd like it to, but she's fucking you anyway. There are times your breath is probably a little tart and she kisses your ass anyway. There are times that she doesn't feel like being bothered at all. But she allows herself to be bothered, and more importantly, she chooses to stay in the middle of that stuff, not just for herself and for her kids, but also for you. So, she's taking hits for the team. You need to take some hits for the team. And I'm not saying it's about punishment and all that other stuff, but it's about being present and really honoring, you know, the commitments that you've made to her and to your family. I get it. You know, attraction can be tricky. I've been in relationships where folks have gained 15, 20, 30 pounds. And truth be told, I really didn't notice. Because I love that man as is. Or I was still turned on by all the other stuff about him. And I don't mind a little weight on a man anyway. So it just doesn't really bother me. I suspect that if someone's body composition changes drastically, maybe I'd be like, babe, so we didn't got a little loose with it. We need to tighten this shit up. Again, it's not his problem. It's mine, and so we need to work on it together. Okay? That would be what I would suggest to you, Gerald. You know, if you feel like the only way she's going to snap back to the way that you want her, it can't be about her. It has to be about the household and the family. So consider some collective exercise, consider making, you know, healthier eating, proper portion size, you know, preventive health, all those things, health promotion, make all those things part of the values of the household and live it. And be a leader. Lead that effort. And, you know, and just don't be so crass as to say, you know, I'm not turned on by you anymore. That's some ego and vanity shit that you need to check. That's part of being an adult and being a father. So I wish you the best, Gerald. You know, love it if you replied, wrote back in. I think you'll recognize your letter despite, you know, me editing a couple of details out of there because they seemed awfully personal. So, alrighty. So, best of luck to you, Gerald. Love to hear back from you, brother. Alrighty. So, in our next one, I thought we'd take a little tour through the land of six brown chicks because it's always fun. And we had some wild ones this week, as we often do. The first one says, bestie of 9 years had bed bugs. That's unfortunate, but that's not the thrust of the letter or of the tweet. I helped her turn over her mattress. Underneath is a strap-on sex toy and a hoodie I designed for my husband years ago. She confessed that they fooled around. He denies. She also used the strap on him. I'm in a rage daze. Help. Ooh, sister. Okay, first of all, may I just say that I love the fact that you and your husband have explored sexuality in a very full manner, or at least fuller than what we are normally allow ourselves to do. I love that you got the strap on, and you know, and I don't know if you designed that one, but maybe you designed the hoodie, but if you designed the strap on, I'm like, oh, sister, you might want to look into marketing that. Cause it sounds like, you know, it might have some cultural relevance there. You might be able to make some money, but obviously if you didn't lend your strap on to your homegirl, then your husband brought it with him. Gosh, he cheated. He, you know, if you guys had a vow of monogamy and that was the understanding and the expectation, then yes, he broke that promise. And he's denying it. And she says she also pegged him. Your anger is understandable. I guess the question I have for you at this point is it a deal breaker for you? Because for a lot of folks, infidelity is not. And at times, it is a gateway to negotiating a monogamish relationship, to borrow from Dan Savage, where by and large, your relationship is monogamous. However, you might have hall passes. You may have certain details and stipulations where you're more open. You may play with a third. You know, I don't know. I think that I don't know if your rage is because he actually cheated or because he lied about it and continues to lie, or whether it was a secret. Clearly, it was a secret. I mean, and it also might just be your man is sloppy. Like, how you leaving the strap on? Like, the strap on, y'all strap on at his side piece's house. Your best friend's house. And I lost track of that best friend factor. That's your best friend. You know, she might be due for a fade. I don't advocate violence, but that's the reality of what often happens when a best friend is messing with somebody else's partner. Or that's just raggedy. So, yeah. Decide whether or not the infidelity is a deal breaker for you. You need to decide whether this woman is truly your best friend. I would say she's not. It's one thing to have even a slip up with your best friend's husband. That's not a slip. That's That is a full-scale decision and some foolishness and fuckery that really, I don't know if it can be excused, but you need to kind of audit your relationships with your husband. Is it done for you? You know, you're angry, you're in a rage now, but is that it? Are you going to get over it? Or is it done for you? Your homegirl, cut her loose. I'm sorry. You know, good friendships are hard to come by, and I hate to say cut her loose, but she ain't your friend. That's not okay. That's a line you don't cross with your friends. Particularly your bestie. She's your bestie. I don't know how old y'all are, but, you know, even in your early 20s, even at 19, this is some fuck shit. Cut her loose, because she's not who you believed her to be. Or maybe she finally decided that she was going to show you who she was because you weren't believing her all this time. I can't say. But, yeah, cut that mess loose. Again, decide whether your man it's a deal breaker, whether you can move past this and you guys can rebuild your relationship. How do you rebuild trust? But also kind of negotiate, what is your sex life going to look like? Is it just going to be the two of you? Is it going to be a third party? You know, if you get past your anger and somehow, you know, I'm going to leave that alone. But, yeah, you might want to have another lady over for the pegging sessions if that's something that both of you might be interested in. Because obviously he loves to get pegged. Maybe your stroke wasn't working for him the way he needed it to work. That's a distinct possibility because, you know, if you do like your hind regions to get worked on, the stroke is very important. Folks will travel for a good stroke. I'm just saying. All right, so moving on to question two from the six brown chicks this week. Someone writes in, my dad is lonely, just discovered Tinder, and is dating random women. I'm concerned for his safety, especially since one date robbed him. I suggested he file a police report, etc., only for him to confess that he gave the woman $500 for sex. I'm ashamed. Advice. This your daddy, first of all. He a grown-ass man. If he has the $500 to spend on sex with a woman or for her time, that's his business. Your shame, I get it. But I would also say that's your problem. Mind your business on that. I get your concern for him. And he has some shame around it because he did, you know, lie to you about it. But right now, he feels compelled to pay for sex. You might want to remind him that once upon a time, he was able to get sex without having to pay for it, and to maybe be a bit more discerning out there and let him know that, you know, he deserves better than that. But that would be about as far as you need to go. You can't prevent him from living his life. You know, he may want sex without the attachments, so paying for sex works for him. You don't know what else took place in that interaction with this woman. You know, if she's a pro and he paid her $500, chances are she provided more than a warm vagina to work on. I'm just saying. You know, call girls and professional escorts, they have talents to go far beyond just fucking you. They do a lot. That's why they are called sex workers, because it is work. It requires skill. So, you know, interrogate your shame on this, but approach your father in a different way. You know, just remind him of who he is and that, you know, he's still got it going on. And hope, you know, you hope that he finds a woman out there that he won't have to pay for. And if he tells you that he's cool paying because he doesn't want the attachments, then mind your damn business. That's it. Question three. There is nothing likable about my baby mama but her sex. She's rude, a mean drunk, etc. I've been trying to leave her, but I don't want her and our four kids living with some other man. What to do? I deserve happiness. Do you? I mean, you've made some decisions here that really kind of preclude happiness. You've You've basically created four children with a woman that you clearly do not like. Now, she could throw that thing on you. That's a gift she was blessed with, but maybe it's a gift that you weren't supposed to experience FOMO times, at least, where you was, you know, chasing seeds and ova and things. Perhaps you needed to recognize, oh, her ass is crazy. Oh, she's mean. Oh, she has a drinking problem. Oh, I probably shouldn't create children with her because I'll be tied to her for the rest of my life. Yeah, you do deserve some happiness, but it's going to possibly be hard fought at this point because you've made some terrible decisions leading up to this. So what I believe you need to do is to suck it up. Understand that if you decide to break up with her, leave her, not marry her, whatever it is, you separate, she's going to find someone else because she clearly has a bomb kitty cat that plenty of other men would love to spend time in. What you may want to do, frankly, is if she is a terrible person, there's a good chance that she's probably abusive on some level toward the children. You may want to get custody of the children. You may want to compile all the evidence that you need to go into family court and get sole custody of the children. If that's your concern, the whole idea of saying, I don't like her ass, but I don't want her with anybody else, and I don't want any other man raising my kids, that's really selfish on your part. You've got to decide what this is going to be. Either you're going to be with her or you're not. Either you're going to actively parent your children with her or without her. But you got to step up here because you've been doing all the fucking like you're a grown man. Now it's time to act like one. Accept the responsibility of being a father. And part of being a good father may be claiming custody of these children and taking them the hell away from her. And then you have to make modifications to your life and your lifestyle to be a good father to your damn kids. Period. It, you know, that's what to do. And maybe somewhere along the way in doing the right thing, doing the honorable thing, honoring your responsibilities, you will find happiness not only in yourself, but in your children. That's all I got for you, man. Question number four of the week from Six Brown Chicks. My life was good until a few weeks ago. I was at work, 6 months pregnant, when my man butt-dials me while he's fucking his fiance at her house. I listened to the whole thing, went home and cussed him out. Now he's ignoring me. I don't want to be a single mom. Help. Girl, are you serious? How did you think you were not going to be a single mom when you were 6 months pregnant by a man that has a fiance that he's still fucking? So is he living with you? Because it was at her house. I don't know how you thought this was going to work, sister. Even if he's living with you, he's still stepping out and fucking someone he's engaged to. Are you wearing a ring? Or was it your plan to steal him from his fiance? Girl, you might want to prepare yourself to, in fact, be a single mother and to be the best single mother you possibly can be because this brother is trash. You cannot rely on him for anything but some dick, and it's community dick at that because I'm fairly certain you're not the only one that he's fucking in addition to his fiance. I'm sure there's some other tail around town that he's climbing into and working on when the urge hits, which is probably several times a day. But you know, I understand the concern about being a single mom, being a single parent. It's hard out there, even with two parents. However, I would think that your life would be that much more unpredictable and that much more unstable if you were to pursue a relationship with a man who has shown you that his integrity is bullshit and that he has serious fuckboy tendencies. Cut this motherfucker loose, truly. Cut him loose. There is no shame in being a single mother. What it means is you chose a guy thought you loved him, thought he was an honorable man, he would do the right thing. You were mistaken. But your child is not a mistake. Love your child. Love him hard. Love her hard. Be the best mom you can be. And one piece of advice, even if the child's father ain't shit, that's not for you to tell the child. Keep your mouth closed. Let your child discover who their father is for themselves. It will make your relationship much easier in the long run with your child. Best to you, sister. Question number 5 from 6 Brown Chicks. My man of 3 years' birthday was in April. I threw a big party, but his family didn't come. His family threw a party, too, and he celebrated with his baby mama. I confronted him. He replies, "She's always number one, 'cause she had my kids." Unquote. Meanwhile, he convinced me to abort ours. Advice. In short, leave him. Leave him. I can give you a long dissertation about why, but here's your short version. He already has kids with someone else that he's prioritized not only the kids in front of you, which is probably appropriate because he is their father, but he's also prioritized his baby mama in front of you, which makes you, what, at least number 4 on the priority list? Now, if you count God, that pushes you down to at least, at best, 5. Then you got to put himself in there, so that pushes you down to at least 6. You're not high on the list, baby. Period. And his family is not supporting your relationship. So do you really want to walk into a relationship with a man that has clearly shown that he's going to choose, I don't know if he'll choose his family over you in terms of his parents and relatives and all those other folks, but he clearly has chosen his baby mama, he has chosen his kids, which is appropriate. And more importantly, he shit on you by saying, "Yeah, I got you pregnant, but you need to abort that baby." For whatever reason, I don't know what he said. But my advice, leave his ass. Move on. There's plenty of good dick out there, truly. Plenty of good dick, girl. Plenty. Plenty, plenty, plenty. Whew, child. Okay. Question number 6 of the week. Dating an older lady who demands to be paid after sex. At first, I thought she was role-playing, but 4 months in, she continues to demand payment, and I'm running out of money. I know we have a connection, but I'm confused by this greedy behavior. What to do? You were dating a cougar that is either broke or has a lifestyle that on her own she cannot attain or sustain. It seems to me that she made the demand for money and you agreed to do that and you continue to agree to it. What I will say is it's much like the policy on loaning money. Never loan money you can't afford to live without, because it may not come back. But also, if there's a connection with this woman, should you be exchanging, should you be paying for sex with her? I don't know. I mean, granted, there's the philosophy that, you know, in Western civilization, if not globally, we're all paying for sex in some way. We're all paying for love because of the investments that we make in one another, in building a home, in the health and fitness and well-being of our partners. But this is not a marriage. This is you thinking there's a connection and you're calling her greedy. The reality is she may in fact be greedy, but she has a different understanding of what this relationship is than you. I suggest you get with the program. And if you can't afford this woman, cut her loose, find some new pussy. There's plenty out there. Truly. Plenty out there. Find some new cat. And if you like older women, there are plenty of older women out there that got their own that would possibly be happy to be in a relationship with you, because it seems like you might be a decent guy, a bit gullible, you know, to be breaking yourself for someone that really kind of shits on you in this regard. But there are women out there that would appreciate a younger man that seems to have some sort of stick-to-itiveness about himself, go find one of them girls. She'll probably teach you some things, too. I'm just saying. That experience stuff is nice. All right. Our final Six Brown Chicks question for the week. Our pastor passed away, and I helped to clean out his office. I found a small envelope of cash for choir robes, but I needed it, so I took it. Bad things have happened since. I got an STD, had a miscarriage, lost my job, etc. Is this payback? Is God this petty? Well, if you believe in God, as you suggest that you do, I suspect that you will see it as God being petty, as you being punished. Certainly, I will say that you were wrong for stealing the choir robe money. Really, girl? Ooh, you need to do a little work and get your soul right. It just, whether God's being petty or not, or you're being punished. Integrity, sister. You stealing money from the church? Really? Wow. I don't know about that one. You might want to get that together. I just get that together. Get that together. Whew. Karma. God being petty, you being punished. Call it what you want. What you did was wrong, and you need to compensate the church for that. Now, whether you want to admit that you did it and this is why you're giving or donating this money to the church, that's on you. But sometimes bad shit just happens. Sometimes it happens to good people. Sometimes it happens to people that do fucked up shit. You did some fucked up shit. You know, because you're catching STDs, you're having miscarriages. Sister, wrap it up. Get some contraceptive care. Because you're clearly not in a place where it's a good idea for you to be a parent. And because you're making really bad decisions right now. Give yourself more time to grow and mature. Raggedy. Okay, last one today. It'll be from HBCU Confessions on Twitter, and I love them, although these are routinely a hot-ass mess. This one is interesting. They say, Anonymous says, I was getting ready to fuck with this alpha, and he was talking big game about how big he was and how alpha men put it down. He pulled it out and said, it's big, ain't it? It was little, I started laughing. I left the scene laughing. I hope he don't speak for all alphas. I don't know what your definition of big versus little is. I will say that, have I had sex with an alpha? Maybe. I've had sex with a Q and about three different sigmas. That was some wild shit. Actually, on all four counts, the three sigmas and the Q, that was some wild shit. Alphas, I don't know. I suspect that alphas can throw something down. I don't really know the reputation there. It's generally not a good idea to laugh at a man's dick when he pulls it out for you. Now, if he's talking shit, he may have earned that, because he knew that dick wasn't big. At least, by traditional standards, conventional standards, unless for you, you know, big starts at 10 inches, then your ass is delusional. And we call that size queen. Now, I respect a good size queen. I used to be one. Not so much anymore, because I have encountered some folks that did not have the size, but they had the technique and the skill, and I said, all right. It worked for me. So, sister, you might want to... Yeah, I don't know. He probably doesn't speak for all alphas. But, you know, maybe alphas got that strong-ass technique that will have you climbing a wall trying to get away from that not-so-big dick. As long as he can hit the clit and you can feel it in the walls, shouldn't be a problem. But, all right, that's just my perspective. You know, hey. Okay. So that will conclude this week's edition of the Sexual Healing Podcast. Hope that you found something valuable there. I don't know. I got on one. I feel like I've been drinking. All I've had, though, is water. But you can find me, you can find the show, actually, on Twitter at PodSexual. And you can find me on Twitter as well at Dr. Pookie. That's DocTorPookie. Once again, DocTorPookie. I ask you to subscribe to the podcast, to rate us if you feel so inclined. 4 and 5 stars, greatly appreciate it. If you got 1 star or 2 stars you want to issue, perhaps you could just send me an email at sexualhealingpod@gmail.com, or you can just write to me on Twitter about what you didn't like. If you have a letter or a question or comment that you want to share, by all means, reach out to me on Twitter or via email. And I'm a proud member of the Pods by QPOC family, #PodsByQPOC. Thank you again. Really? I almost got through this shit without somebody calling this house. Okay, let me pause this. Damn it. I'll be back. Okay, I'm back up in this piece now. All right, so as I was saying, thank you for joining me this week. Had to take that call. It was tasty. Tasty gossip. Yet unfortunate, but tasty. But okay, I digress. So thank you again for joining me this week. Be sure to subscribe, rate, comment, share. We appreciate any shares on your social media platform, attempting to grow the audience. And I am contemplating actually setting up a phone line for you to call in and leave messages. So give me a little time on that. I have some ideas. It might actually happen soon. But I am recommitted to the podcasting game, even though, you know, health is not 100% just yet, but I'm upright and a brother's hanging in there and getting stronger each day. So thank you again for hanging out with me, and I hope that today's episode was certainly sexual and provide a bit of healing for you as well. Be well. Bye.